Turn to Matthew. Chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. The title of this message will be The God Who Hides Himself. And let's begin reading, and we'll read through the first 20 or so verses and make a few comments, but then we'll begin to look a little bit closer when we get to the explanation of the parable of the soul. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And I think there's a great deal in that verse right there. A great deal of things typical. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell in stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. He who hath an ear to hear, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's a key to Scripture. He who hath an ear to hear. That's the only one that can hear is one who God has prepared their ear for the hearing of the word of the Lord. And the disciples came and said to them, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Now, hold your place there and turn to Lamentations. The Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 22. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. That's talking about our whole race. In here, you know, it's Jeremiah prophesying to Israel and saying that it's because of the Lord's mercy that he didn't completely annihilate us. But it is of the mercies of the Lord that our whole race wasn't consumed when our covenant head rebelled against God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Look at Titus. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Well, let me begin reading at verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You know, if the Lord ever permits me to plant a church and name it, it'll be named Sovereign Mercy Baptist Church. look in the Psalm at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Not because I deserve it. Not because there's anything in me that would cause God to blot out my transgressions. But according to His goodness, according to His mercies, according to His unchanging, everlasting love, according to His covenant promise to the spiritual seed of Abraham, David said, because it's in you, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and cleared when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We're sinners. We just are. We're born sinners. We live all our life as sinners. Even after conversion, we're sinners, though our sins are purged. They're made as white as snow. Isaiah 1:18. All right, let's go back to Matthew 13. Verse 9. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? And he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, a mystery in Scripture is something that is impossible to be known by the intellect and natural understanding of man, but is something that has to be revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And he said, it's not for you to know, it's not for them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That is the doctrine of Christ. But it is, but it's given to you. Given to the disciples. For to them is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Now, whosoever hath, that can go all the way back and does go all the way back to an interest in the covenant of grace, in the decree of God's everlasting election. Whoever has a part in that, whoever God has given grace in Christ Jesus according to His own purpose and grace before the world was, they're going to be given more. They're going to be given an ear to hear, an eye to see, a heart to understand. The gospel's going to, they're going to be able to hear the gospel because of the Spirit of truth in them, and they will connect with it. They'll close with it. Yeah. They'll be able to hear it. It'll ring true to them. Nobody else, just them. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, no part in the covenant of grace, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. From him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, by seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Look at Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Look at Isaiah 59:21. Isaiah 59:21. As for me, now this is the word of the Lord, and this is his word, and he said, as for me, this is my purpose. This is the way it's going to be according to my determination. As for me, this is my covenant unto them, saith the Lord. Well, who's the them? It's the children of the covenant. And who's that? That's the spiritual seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. As for me, this is my covenant unto them, saith the Lord. My spirit, which is upon thee, and my words, which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. It takes both the Spirit of God and the Word of God to change a heart, to make a heart new. The Holy Spirit takes the Word and plants it effectually in the heart of the children of the covenant, and they become a new creature. And you know something? They ain't got a thing to do with it. That's something God does. And anon, they find out, I believe. I can hear that message. I believe that's the truth. That's the only truth. I'm not interested in anything else. That's the gospel that is sealed by the blood of the Son of God, and it's sealed to me. That's all of our hope. That God has sealed his covenant in our heart by the blood of his Son. And we can know that we are the children of the covenant. How do we know? Because we believe what nobody else does. All right, back to Isaiah, or Matthew. Matthew 14. And we'll go back to 13 and pick up there. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Let's go one more place before we go on. Look at 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. Well, how's that Word get in your heart? By the preaching of the gospel, but just hearing it preached won't do. The Holy Spirit has to apply it. He has to put it in your heart. He has to make it part of you. He plants the Word in your heart and causes it to take root. And you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. one more place before we go back to Matthew. 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. Well, how long will that word abide? 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Now the anointing is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit himself who teaches us all things, who teaches us and makes the gospel real to us, causes us to believe the gospel. He is the Spirit of truth to us. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. But look at verse 19. Well, let's go back to verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us. They disassembled from us. They left the doctrine of Christ. They had no enjoyment. They could not close with the doctrine of Christ. They didn't believe it. They left us. They broke fellowship with us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They were not children of the covenant. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But look at this. But ye, who are the children of the covenant, who are true believers, ye have an unction or anointing from the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know all things, and you know all things that pertain to life and salvation, the gospel. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, we can say that we are the children of the truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're his children. God gave us to him. So we are the children of the truth. We have the Spirit of truth within us, which the world cannot receive, and the truth abides in us. And we hear the truth and rejoice in the truth. All right, let's go back to Matthew 13, verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saying, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, by seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. They've shut their eyes against the truth. They despise the truth. They won't hear the truth. Oh, they'll hear that God loves everybody. They'll hear that. They'll hear about the universality of the love of God and the universality of the brotherhood of man, but they won't hear about particular redemption. That Christ died for and saved his people from their sins. They won't hear that. They won't hear about God's electing mercies, God's predestinating mercies, or any of the things that conflict with our flesh. And the gospel is sharp against the flesh. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. It is out of the Lord's mercies that any of us see, and any of us hear, and any of us understand, any of the sons of men. God would not lose the race of men. He redeemed some. He appointed some to Himself from ancient eternity. And He set His love upon them and made promise to them in the covenant, and they are the children of the covenant, ever beloved of God. Look back at 1 John again. Chapter 4. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. Now, how is it we're of God? Because we're children of the covenant from everlasting. How is that manifest? Through our faith, through our God-given faith. It is manifested that we are children of the covenant. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's them? Those who are of the spirit of Antichrist, who went out from us because they were not of us, who will not hear the doctrine of the truth. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Well, who hears this gospel? There are just a very few of us here this morning, because nobody else heareth us. They don't hear. Though we preach the truth to them, they don't hear it. Their heart is hardened against it. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or to make satisfaction for our sins. All right, back to Matthew 13:17. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away even that which he hath sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. You take people who are not well schooled, not understanding. They hear the word preached, and they are made inquisitive in their mind by it, but they go out and they speak to somebody, and they're turned away from the message by the emissaries of Satan. Now, you can't believe what they preach up there at that church. Now, why don't you go over here to this church? They preach a message that you'll be able to, you know, you'll be able to understand. They talk about a God of love who just loves everybody, trying to save everybody, wants to save everybody. And so they're turned away from the truth.
Yeah.
But he that receives seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Boy, it's good news. They hear a fire escape. They hear about everlasting glory as opposed to a fire escape named Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just tickled to death. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a little while. There's no work of the Spirit in him. The Holy Spirit is not put within him. He hears with the natural ear.
Yeah.
And that's all he hears.
Mm-hmm.
For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by, he's offended. Yeah. Nah, that must have been the wrong message I heard. God wouldn't do that. He also that receiveth that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Never born again.
Yeah.
Never received the Spirit of God. Never actually believed the truth. And the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches turned his eye off the message that he heard. He had no part in it. Proved him to have no part in it. But he that receives seed in good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Well, who is that good ground hearer? Look at Proverbs 16. The good ground hearer is one whose heart is plowed up. His hard and stony heart is broken up, and his ground is prepared for the sowing of the word. It's made soft and pliable. Look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord.
Amen.
They're the only one can hear savingly. Those whose heart is plowed by the Holy Spirit, where the hammer and fire of the word of the Lord have broken up his hard and stony heart and given him a heart that is capable of receiving the seed of the word. Look at Isaiah now, Isaiah 45. Verse 15. Now the angels that sinned were cast down under chains of darkness unto judgment. There's no mercy for them.
Yeah.
Only justice.
Mm-hmm.
They rebelled against their Creator. Their high and lofty position that they had, being the angels of God, they rebelled against their Creator, even though He had given them a being such as they had, superior strength and intelligence, but they fell, and there's no offer of mercy for them. There is no mercy for them. But we fail in a covenant head. one acting for others. And there's two covenant heads. There's the first Adam, or there's Adam, and then there's the last Adam. Mm-hmm. We fell in the first one. Some of our race are beloved in the second Adam, or the last Adam.
Yeah.
And to them, they're able to hear the gospel. Look here at Isaiah. Now, the justice of God demands retribution against those who rebel against Him. So the angels that fell, they're getting what they deserve.
Yeah.
If we got what we deserve, we'd get the same portion as the fallen angels. But God had made a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world and set His love upon some of the race of Adam. And in time, He intends to bring them to glory as His children. Look here. Verily, Thou art a God that hidest Thyself, O God of Israel. Now, you can't get that from any Arminian preaching. But that's who God is. He's a God who is hidden. And how does God hide Himself? By simply not revealing Himself. He's hidden from all of from all natural men, for they receiveth not the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned, and the carnal mind is enmity against God, for is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And if God doesn't war against our fallen, corrupted, ruined nature to reveal Himself to us, He's hidden from us.
Yeah.
We cannot see Him because we will not see Him.
Yeah.
Verily, Thou art a God that hidest Thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them that shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But a remnant, just a few, some of our kind, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord. They were put in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. They were chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ from eternity past. And they shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. How long does it last? From everlasting to everlasting. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. What about after judgment? When our Lord Jesus Christ comes to claim His own. We'll appear before Him. We must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. But we're going to appear before Him covered with His own righteousness. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. But say ye to the wicked, it shall be ill with them. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it, He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Look at verse 25. Well, let's start. Let's read verses 24 and 25 of Isaiah 45. Surely shall one say, "In the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am in Him, and He's in me." At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Amen. Surely shall one say, "In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to Him shall men come, and all that are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." Those who truly believe that Jesus is the Christ are the spiritual seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And they'll be justified and they glory in Jesus Christ alone. They don't glory in a fake Jesus as popular among men. They glory in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And they are faithful to His message. That's the only hope we have. That's our only hope, is that we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at just a couple more places, and I'll stop here. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. Verse 20. "In those days, and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none." What happened? It was washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. "And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve." Those who are reserved are those who believe the gospel. It's not those who attend services regularly. Though we ought to attend services regularly, and it's a blessing to attend services regularly, because it's those who believe. It's not those who are, do-gooders in every situation. Though we do want to do good, but it's them that believe. All right.